is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, Jesus Came from Galilee, Land of the Gentiles. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Elvis Presley with Peace in the Valley, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
For me.
I'll tell you, on one side is the Jewish religion of the Jews. That's Judaism. And on the other side is the kingdom. That's different. The kingdom is for everyone who will accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And the Judaizers fought this kingdom. They did not want that kingdom to come. They didn't want to see Jesus time. They didn't want to see Jesus come. They wanted a Jewish kingdom on earth, and they still are fighting for that today. Their Messiah is going to come. His name is not Jesus. He'll be another one. He'll be the Antichrist. Jesus was put down. Jesus is in hell. Oh, no, they're going to have a glorious kingdom of the Jews right here on earth, they say. As far as Christians, I guess they're going to be sort of nice to you if you will be a righteous person and you will accept that they're your masters and you become their slaves and all of your riches you give over to them, they'll let you live. But if not, then, of course, you're going to go to the guillotine. They're going to cut off your neck. Paul talked about what Christianity was. He said, don't give heed to Jewish fables. Wow. That just tells you right out, doesn't it? That's in Titus 1, verse 14. Don't give in to Jewish fables. Don't listen to commandments of men that turn you away from the truth. That was Paul's advice. Oh, he had learned of all these traditions of men. He had become one of the leaders in the Jewish religion. He gave up the Jewish religion for the teaching of the kingdom. And he said, the only thing that matters to me now, everything else is like, ugh, human whatever. I don't even want to say the word. I only preach Jesus. Now, I was talking to you about Philip Morrow, the great Christian lawyer and teacher. And Philip Morrow became a Christian at a later age. He had been a church member, a Episcopal, sat in the pews, and everybody said, oh, he's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful man. But he was miserable. He was miserable. He was depressed. And one day he walked the streets of New York, and there were all the sights and the smells and the sounds of New York, and he suddenly came upon a church there in one of the buildings there. Right on the streets of New York, there was a tabernacle, a church called the Tabernacle. And a pastor named Simpson was in there preaching, and he didn't much want to go in, but he heard all the noise in there and the sounds, and people were saying things like, you know, praise God, and they were singing hymns. And, well, they didn't do that back in his church, but he was sort of attracted to that. And, I think I'll go in and see what they're doing. I mean, he was just out for a walk anyway on a Sunday morning. And the people, he thought they were sort of beneath him. You see, he wore a fancy suit and had nice clothing. He was quite a wealthy man. And these people were common. They were the working people, lower class. But what they said, what he heard from the pulpit, they said things that he had not heard in his church. And one day, he said, Lord, come in my heart. What was said there affected him. You know, I had a man came to see me one time, very educated man. He was way above everyone else here in Austin, Texas. He had a lot of money, and he was a intellectual. But he said to me that he was miserable. He was miserable. And finally, one day, he was so miserable that he knew a man who people had told him was a good Christian. And he went to that man and said, what can I do to make myself happy and not to be miserable? And the man said, well, I'd like you to go see another friend of mine who owns a mechanic shop. Now, he's not like you. He hadn't gone to university and all. He's just a greasy mechanic. He can't talk fancy words, but I think he can help you out. Well, my rich friend said, well, I'm going to go see him. And he went and he parked his car. I don't know, he's probably driving a Mercedes or, you know, a Ferrari or something. He pulled up there and he went and asked for a certain gentleman by name. And that man came out and he looked pretty bad. He had grease all over his face and his hands and his clothes. He'd been working on his cars. That's what he was, a mechanic. Probably didn't have a ninth grade education, but he had something very important. And this rich man spilled it all out to him.
I'm miserable. I don't know what I have in this world. I don't have anything in this world. Well, I have plenty of riches. Help me. Help me. And that mechanic said, let's go around to the side of the building here and kneel down. And they did. And, you know, it turned out that mechanic gave him something fantastic. Actually, the mechanic didn't have any money to give me. He didn't have anything that was valuable, but he gave him something greater. Now, I'm hearing about this story from the intellectual, from the man who had everything but had nothing. Because the Bible says, even if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul, what have you got? Well, the man that I came to know was a pretty happy guy. He wasn't miserable at all. He was very happy. He was thrilled to go out and tell others of Jesus. And he didn't care what they were, what rank they were in the world, what stature. Well, that's the way it was. Now, Philip Morrow, when he came to know Jesus, he was sort of that way too, but he had never told anybody about Jesus. He was afraid to. You know, he was afraid. I've never witnessed anybody about Jesus. And he went home and he thought about his sister who was in bed. The doctors had said she's probably going to die. Well, what sickness does she have? She was dying of just being unhappy. She'd got at a point in her life when she had nothing, she felt. And she was just melting away. If you ever met somebody like that, they almost will themselves to die. They want to die. That was what was true of Philip Morrow until he came to Jesus. And then he had never told anybody about his faith in Jesus. His sister probably didn't even know he was a Christian. But there she was, lying on that bed. He held her hand, and he called out her name. And she looked up at him very sadly, very morosely, very with great pain. And he said, I know what you want, dear. I know what you need. You need to know the Lord Jesus. Wow. He had never mentioned Jesus to anybody before. Why, his friends would have thought, oh, you nincompoot. We don't talk about Jesus. We talk about the price of the stock market. We talk about important things. Philip Morrow had never spoken to his sister. He thought she's probably going to just smirk. She's going to look down on me. But she didn't. He knew what she needed. He said, though, I got so mixed up and I got so scared, I couldn't even tell my own sister, so I just said those words. That's all I could say. Just that she needed Jesus. He knew what she needed. And sure enough, that was the medicine she needed. Exactly what she needed. She became a wonderful Christian woman. Did many spectacular things in her life. And Philip learned then how to reach others for Christ. And he wrote many books about his faith and so forth. You can get those books through Amazon today. One quite interesting is called The 70 Weeks of Daniel, by the way. He did not give, Philip Morrow did not give his sister Jewish fables. He did not talk to her about the commandments of men. And you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. He didn't even know what to say. Isn't that something? He was a lawyer. He said, I didn't mind getting in a courtroom and haranguing the most intelligent men on earth. Oh, I could really, he won so many cases. He was magnificent. He could spin those words together and he would win all of his cases. But of Jesus, he could get out only one sentence. But that was what the Holy Spirit will preach for you. A lot of people don't understand that. That's true. Now, the Jews today teach globalism for them. They teach globalism because they want a world kingdom. They're globalist. That's why the Jews in the United States, they're leaders of the migration movement. They want us to drop all of our borders and everybody come together, except they're not going to come together except with themselves. And then they will rule over us. You read about that in the Protocols of Zion. But Paul taught us to obey the powers appointed over us. The Jews say, we're really not Americans. We're not British. We're not, you know, from Singapore. We're not from Russia. We are Jews. All of us are from Israel. But Paul said, obey the powers appointed over you wherever you live. He was a nationalist. Think about that. And today, we Americans should be nationalists. We should be saying America first, after Jesus, of course. Today, the Jews still teach internationalism. It's called communism. But Paul taught a principle. It was called, we have here no continuing city. Think about that. We have here on this earth no continuing city. According to the Apostle Paul, all of the great prophets taught the same thing. Now the Jews will say, oh no, the prophets, they taught of holy Jerusalem, and they all looked forward to being in Jerusalem, and oh yes. Paul said, no, they didn't. They didn't look to Jerusalem. They looked to the new Jerusalem that was in heaven. Here have we no continuing city. You see, Christians and Jesus taught about a coming, the coming of a spiritual kingdom. Jews and Judaism teaches of a material religion. They want what they want. They want the things of earth. They're like the MTV crowd. I want my MTV. Yeah, well, you can have it. Christians and Jesus teach of something better. And Jesus said this is the kingdom of the gospel, of the good news. Now, I used to read the Bible. I would say, what does that mean, the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom? That's what we're supposed to preach about, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, frankly, even when we talk about America being first, that's wrong. Because for a Christian, America's really not first. I guess it's the best thing we can find on this planet, other than the spirit of Jesus. Jesus basically taught that he was not one of the Jews. He spoke of them as a separate, they were an entity other than themselves. They were the Jews. I don't go around talking about the Americans. Have you, friends? No. Today, the Jews, in whatever nation they reside, are still, to this very day, they're separate, a divided entity. The Jew. They're never Americans, never British, never Mexicans. They're always Jews. I've heard American preachers, very mixed up preachers, say that if push comes to shove, they will take Israel's side even over the well-being of America. That's what Bill Clinton told a Jewish audience one time. He said, if I have to, I'll take up arms and I'll put on an Israeli uniform and go fight on the side of the Israelis. What? They're all Israel first. Well, Sheldon Adelson, the casino mogul, head of the Sands Casino in China and one of them in Las Vegas, he says, I'm going to give millions of dollars to whichever candidate for president is going to be the biggest supporter of Israel. Really? Aren't you an American? Well, America comes second to the Christian. America's second. For Jesus, heaven's kingdom was first. That's his kingdom. That's where he was. And Pilate said, are you a king? You're being accused of being a king. And Jesus said, yes, I am a king, but not of this world. That's not of this world. The Jews want this world. And many Christians, I heard Jack Van Impe say, we're not going to go to heaven. We're going to be right here, and we're going to make this earth into heaven. What? Really? No, no, no. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't care about this dirt. This dirt's nothing to me, friends. I mean, I've seen some pretty places in my lifetime. I've been all over the world. I've been to Asia. I've been to Europe. I've gone all over the world. I have never seen any place that's going to be as lovely as heaven. Paul said, you can't even imagine it. Jesus was never Israel first. He talked about the Jews. He didn't include himself in that. He was of the kingdom, my friends. He had soldiers in places that no one on earth had ever seen with their naked eye. I am a king, he said, but not of this earth. If I were, my soldiers would fight for me. Wow. Now, Galilee was called land of the Gentiles. The Jews hated the Galileans. Did you know that? There were laws, there are laws against intermarriage in the Talmud, and they put down the Galileans. In fact, in John 1:4-6, Nathanael said to Philip, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? See, Philip was saying, well, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Galilee, ugh. I've heard some people say that about different states in America. Oh, can anything good come out of that place? And when they heard of Christ Jesus, John 7:41 says that Jewish leaders skeptically asked, shall Christ come out of Galilee? The Talmud, today's Talmud, The Holy Book of the Jews actually criticized the Galileans. It says, quote, the Galileans were more anxious for honor than for money. Oh, did you hear what I just said? The Jews today in their Talmud criticize the Galileans. They say the Galileans were more anxious for honor than for money. But what's most important to the Jew? Money. The Pharisees said, is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter from Galilee? How can he be Christ Jesus? How can he be the Messiah? But Jesus said to the Roman centurion that had come to him, Matthew 8, verse 10, that Roman centurion, please go read that. I don't have time to talk about it today, but it's so important. He was a Roman. He was a Gentile. And he said to Jesus, please come and heal my servant. Come and heal him. And Jesus maybe would have come to see him, but the centurion says, you don't even have to go see him. You can just give the command and it will be done. Think about that. You just give the command. It'll be done even long distance. My servant will be healed. Oh, many people want Jesus. Come to my house. My dad's sick. Come to this place here, this other city in another town. My sister's lying there on her bed. She's very ill. Come and help her. But this Roman centurion said, just give the word and it'll be done. Jesus said to his disciples of that centurion, the Roman, the Gentile, he said, quote, I have not found so great faith. No, not in all Israel. No Jew had the faith of that Roman Gentile in all of Israel. That's why Jesus told his disciples, go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's in Mark chapter 16. Wow. John 1 verse 12 is the ultimate verse. It says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. That's what you have to do. That's all. That's all. Believe on the name of Jesus. You can be a Jew. You can be a Gentile. You can be anything because your flesh is nothing. It's going to go right back to dust when you leave, but you're going to go on. And you're going to go into heaven or to hell. That is your destiny, dear friends. Choose correctly. Choose wisely.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.